Congress moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again, runs out to the right.
Still on his feet, now throws, it's good to Lofton.
At the 10, at the 5, touchdown, touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like the job, Oliver! Fires left side, got a man there, Stevie catch, touchdown!
Really, we still got action.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10, 5 yards. C.J. Spiller!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight, joining Murphy in studio is Kevin Cobb, and then at 8 o'clock sharp, the NFL schedule and the Buffalo Bills schedule comes out for the 2013 season. Be listening and call us with your thoughts.
This place is pandemonium!
Touchdown!
From One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yes, good evening. Welcome. Yeah, we got action, as Stevie says. We got a lot of action tonight. Happy to be on the radio tonight and happy to have you with us here tonight. There's a lot going on. I mean, it's all day long playing catch-up with the Bills practicing today in open practice. Everybody able to watch it, see for themselves what's been going on behind closed doors for a couple of days. Of course, the schedule's coming out. At 8 o'clock, we'll have that for you live. We'll go right through the schedule. We need your input on what you hear about the schedule tonight. Need your input on all things concerning the Bills and the NFL. We're here until 9 o'clock tonight with live radio. You heard the lineup. Kevin Cobb's going to join us in studio just about 15, 20 minutes from now. But happy to have you with us here tonight. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. The schedule, the big thing that we've got coming out tonight. 8 o'clock release. That's when we'll have the entire schedule for you. We'll read it off week by week at 8 o'clock when we take our break at 8. We come back from that. Of course, the league will release it on NFL Network, but I think you can get it before you'll probably get to it. We'll probably get to it, I should say, before NFL Network does. So you may want to keep it tuned in here. And then, of course, we need your reaction. In fact, we would take your thoughts on the schedule right now over the telephone, as we don't know what it is, but maybe you have some thoughts on what you'd like to see in this year's Bills schedule. What would you like to see? Give us a call. Let us know. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. That goes for those of you in Rochester and all points outside the 716. As usual, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What are you looking for in this year's schedule? What are you hoping to see in this year's Bill schedule when it comes out 1 hour from now? Who do you want? Who do you want in the opener? Who would you like to see the Bills face in the opener? By now, I think you know, it's pretty accessible. We've known for a while who they're going to play at home, who they're going to play on the road. You know, you can find that out pretty easy. But who would you like to see the Bills face in the season opener? Do you want a primetime game? I know there are varying opinions on that. You know, some folks who live outside of Buffalo consider the home primetime games not a draw. I mean, it's just hard to get here for a – you're talking about days off work if it's a Monday night or even a Thursday night. It's just hard to get here and to get home and go to work the day of the game or the day after the game. Do you want a primetime game? Would you like it at home or on the road? Would you like to see – who would you like to see the Bills play in Toronto? As you know, just one Toronto game this year. Who would you like to see the Bills face in the game in Toronto this year? Your most anticipated home game. What's the game that you're really looking forward to going to at Ralph Wilson Stadium this year? The Jets, Miami, New England, one of the divisional rivals. Atlanta, who played in the NFC Championship game. They're coming to Orchard Park this year. They're coming to play the Bills. Carolina, they're coming up here to play the Bills in a Bills home game. Baltimore, the Super Bowl champions. Cincinnati, Kansas City. What's your most anticipated home game? And what's the best road trip on the Bills' schedule this year? We know where they're going. We just don't know the date yet. But what's the best road trip? Florida? There's three of them. Tampa Bay, Miami, and Jacksonville. New Orleans? Always a good time. Pittsburgh? Close by. Jets, New England, Cleveland. What's your best road trip? Those are just some ideas. What would you like to see in the Buffalo Bills schedule that comes out 1 hour from now? Ring us up or reach us on Twitter. Let us know what you'd like to see. The number to call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. You can email the show at johnmurphyshow@bills.nfl.com. Speaking of emailing the show, we mentioned the other day about the email we got from Sweden. Well, how about this? This might be even better. Got an email just the other day from he calls himself a Bill supporter from Vienna, Austria. His name is Stefan Suez from Vienna, Austria. And here's what his email said. I listen to your show every day, usually in the mornings after your broadcast. Really looking forward to the upcoming season and especially to the draft. Stefan says, I'm usually asleep when you're on the air. I can't call you personally. So he sends a question by email. We'll take that. And I'm going to read you now what Stefan Suez, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, thinks about the draft. He says, in my mind, Cordarrelle Patterson is the missing link to an already potent offense, and I think we should draft him at 8. Now, since Buddy said he wanted a wide receiver, linebacker, and quarterback, we apparently need another tight end since Chandler got injured, a guard because of the departure of Lavitre, and a safety. Looking at the number of safeties we invited to One Bills Drive, Stefan thinks, all of these needs will get covered with the 6 draft picks. And here's his question. At this point in the offseason, what position would you address first, second, third in the draft? His guess, wide receiver first round, quarterback second, linebacker third, guard fourth, tight end fifth, safety 6. Nice and neat. Stefan goes on to say, keep up the good work. I hope you'll be discussing my question in the upcoming shows. We're discussing it right now, Stefan. Stefan Suez, S-Z-U-E-S-Z from Vienna, Austria. I can't believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I might be close.
Sounds right. Suez?
S-Z-U-E-S-Z. Suez? Suez? How about Suez? Anyway, to address this question, which position? I'm right on. You know, we're getting close now. It's a week away, the NFL draft, as you know. I'm kind of in line with Stefan here. I'm thinking wide receiver first round, but maybe not Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm beginning to think, and maybe it's wishful thinking, that Tavon Austin from West Virginia might be the guy there at number 8, that he could be available to the Bills at number 8. I think he'd be tough to pass up. Does he fit exactly what the Bills are looking for? Not exactly, but from all accounts, Tavon Austin is the type of talent that, in somebody's words this past week or so, transcends systems. In other words, he is so good, it doesn't matter what offensive system you're running. He's a type of wide receiver that transcends systems. So I'm thinking wide receiver first round, Tavon Austin. Quarterback second round, probably Ryan Nassib, maybe Tyler Wilson. Linebacker after that, I mean, yeah, I mean, then you're, to my mind, we know what the needs, linebacker, maybe less than there were, you know, less of a need than it was a month ago. Guard, Stefan says, tight end, safety. I mean, after the second round, I think you really got to look to best available with an eye on your needs. But we appreciate the email from Stefan Suez, I'll say it, from Vienna, listening in the mornings from Vienna, Austria. That's over in Europe, for those of you keeping score at home, and thank him for his participation in the show. We welcome your participation. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. The NFL schedule, the Bills schedule, comes out 1 hour from now. We'll have it for you live as soon as it comes out at 8 o'clock. But it's not just scheduled today. There's a lot going on here at One Bills Drive today, including the final session of the 3-day voluntary veteran minicamp. 3 days on the field, football drills. You've heard by now, very fast-paced, up-tempo practices, very high-energy practices. The tone set by the coaches, obviously, in the meeting room, and the tone carried over onto the field. And Doug Marrone, after today's final workout, talked about what his goals were going into this 3-day week of off-season minicamp.
I think for us coming into it, one of the things that we wanted to get accomplished as a team was, one, you know, we wanted to establish a tempo, you know, the way we practice, the way we go about our business. Two, we wanted to learn a system. You know, offense, defense, and special teams. You know, three, we wanted to learn the drills and the technique, and obviously to get familiar with our expectations, which we have at an extremely high standpoint, changing that for ourselves as coaches and for the players, and also get out here and have some fun and run around and enjoy the work that we're putting in. You know, there's no doubt that I'm excited about our start. I'm happy with it. I told that and communicated that to the players. I think the players have been very responsive. We've thrown a lot at them, you know, in these last 3 days. I mean, very multiple on offense, multiple on defense. We've done some situations, third down, red zone. So we've gotten a lot of stuff in. And there's no doubt that we're headed, I feel, in the right direction, as well as the players.
That's 3 days after practice began, a 3-day voluntary veteran minicamp. Pretty upbeat summary, I think, by Doug Marrone. And I know, talking to a couple of players and coaches after today's workout, they all felt pretty good about what they got on. Had a discussion with Chris Brown, that's up on BuffaloBills.com right now, about the 3-day minicamp, about today's session of the minicamp. And I pointed out to Chris, and I think he agrees, that there really weren't that many execution errors, at least not glaring execution errors, that you might expect when you have installation of a new offense and a new defense. I mean, as Marrone said, they threw a lot at him. And there didn't seem, I mean, there were a couple flags and, you know, not too many drop passes. Didn't seem to be a whole lot of assignment errors going on from the untrained naked eye, which I think is pretty impressive. Again, 3 days of practice after 2 weeks of learning the new offense and defense. But the tempo is what got everybody's attention. The fast-paced tempo between plays, between drills from one practice period to another. Marone said it's important for his team to establish a very fast practice tempo.
Well, I think in football, football's a game when you get on that field, everything happens so quickly during the game. And I think that you get a false sense of security if you're slowed down in practice and you're slowing things down. The faster you can make it in practice, I think it's better carry over to the game.
Doug Marone talking about the up-tempo, aggressive practice the Bills had. Point not lost on the veterans who were here last year and even those who played elsewhere over the last few years. Mario Williams talked today about the energy and the tempo of practice. He says it's a whole new ballgame at One Bills Drive.
Since day one, I mean, we pretty much, I mean, everything has changed. You know, and not just say from coaches or anything like that, but the whole mindset. You know, it's almost like from what we thought was this or that last year, this is definitely different. And just the way you see us out here running around and being positive and getting after it and getting into the playbook has definitely opened our eyes to the possibilities of what, you know, is in front of us, especially on my side of the defense with the capabilities that he's putting out there for us.
Yeah, the playbook, the defensive playbook, a topic of great interest, I know, going into this week as the Bills took the field for their first few football practices after a couple of weeks of offseason conditioning. What are they? 3-4 defense, 4-3 defense, a multiple defense. I think that's it. Multiple, very different positions for different players. We already, in just this practice we saw today, got a look at a couple of different players in different spots. For instance, Arthur Motes lined up as an inside linebacker in what looked to be a 3-4 defensive front for the Bills. That's different from what it was last year. Nigel Bradham getting a lot of playing time at one of the linebacker spots, and Mario Williams himself lining up all over the place. That's the idea, to keep teams guessing, to keep opponents guessing. Mario Williams says the Bills are going to be a team that shows their opponents multiple looks on defense this year.
Extremely different. Extremely different. There's times where, you know, like, I couldn't even tell you what position I play, technically, because I really don't know. I mean, because it's all over the place. And it's definitely something that's, you know, put different matchups out there on the field and put us in different positions, have guys free, and be aggressive.
I think that's what the goal is, to get the kind of matchups they want. And not, you know, it's easy at this point to trash what went on here the last few years, to trash what went on here last year. But if you'll recall, one of the, I've stated on this show, the major failing for the 2012 Bills, in my mind, was on the defensive side of the ball. The predictable nature of the Bills' defense last year. The fact that they were a 4-3 front, and they basically stayed in a 4-3 front. They didn't blitz much. They didn't move people around. They didn't show opponents anything they expected. And this is one way to do it. Didn't work last year, but they expected their front four to beat the other team's offensive line, and it didn't happen. And they never adjusted out of that. I think that was the major major deficiency in the Buffalo defense last year, the approach they took. They seemed to have some talent on that defense, especially up front on the defensive line. Now, Mario Williams, of course, came to Buffalo a year ago from the Houston Texans, where all reports were he did not like being an outside linebacker in Houston's 3-4 defensive setup. What is he here now? As you heard him say, he's not quite sure what his position is. He's more of a hybrid, I guess, and that's you know, kind of what they're talking about with some of these defensive linemen. They're going to be hybrid. I think it was Mark Anderson on our show just last week said he considered himself a hybrid right now. And as far as Mario Williams is concerned, being a hybrid is something that he would be comfortable with.
You know, I've had a chance to play a hybrid 3-4, 4-3 before. And, you know, this is similar with the possibility. So I know what the possibilities are that are there when you have somebody who can schematically scheme up something to, you know, create edges and create wide open guys. But then the one thing I will say I've not done before is play this many positions. So, you know, I'm ready for it, man. I mean, it's just going to be very exciting, and us as players are very excited. Every day when we come in, everybody, it's an upbeat tempo. You have to be. I mean, it's just the atmosphere has completely changed here.
Mario Williams talking after today's final session of the 3-day voluntary veteran minicamp in April Everything's upbeat in April, and I know, I don't believe me, I don't need to be cautioned that there's a long way to go. At the end of the mini-camp, the Bills signed five players who were in for tryouts. They had about 10 or maybe a dozen players in during the last 3 days for tryouts. They decided to add five of them to the roster. We'll give you their names. One of them is defensive end Jamie Blatnick, who is a one-year experienced guy from Oklahoma State, 6'3", 253 pounds. Came into the league last year as an undrafted free agent with the Denver Broncos, spent part of last season on the Broncos practice squad, and as I said, played at Oklahoma State. Linebacker Courtney Brown signed to the Bills roster. He was an undrafted free agent with the Niners last year, was released before the regular season, then spent a few weeks on the Washington Redskins practice squad last year. Courtney Brown, linebacker, 6'4", 253-pounder, played at Clemson. They signed to the active roster an extra kicker, Chris Keplin. He was on the signed to the Patriots roster in July 2011 as a free agent out of Massachusetts, UMass, released before the regular season, rejoined the Patriots in April of 2012, and then became a free agent and is signed here with the Buffalo out of UMass, a kicker, Chris Keplin. A punter, Brian Stachowicz from San Diego State University. He is now a Buffalo Bill on the roster now. Signed by the Colts as an undrafted free agent last year, released before the start of the regular season. Played his college football at San Diego State. I'll tell you what, he has hit some booming punts inside the fieldhouse the last few days of this offseason workout. And finally, the fifth player signed after the tryout this week, fullback Frank Summers from Nevada, Las Vegas. He was a fifth-round pick of the Steelers in 2009, went on IR for the Steelers, spent 2010 on the Steelers practice squad, spent 2011 on San Diego's practice squad, and now he is with the Buffalo Bills. Frank Summers, 5'9". 248-pound fullback from Nevada, Las Vegas. Those five players signed to contracts by the Buffalo Bills. They'll be back next week for conditioning, and then, of course, when the organized team activity begins in about 3.5 weeks. Now, 1 week away, we turn our attention now to the NFL draft. Just 1 week away now. Ryan Nassib, he's been in the focus of a lot of Bills fans' attention ever since the season ended. The quarterback from Syracuse with his links to Buffalo Bills head coach now Doug Marrone and Bills offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Ryan Nassib appeared this morning on WGR Radio with Howard Simon and Jeremy White. And the boys asked him, does he have a gut feeling on who might select him in the draft next week?
Well, be honest with you, I mean, I thought I had a gut feeling, but I really don't. I mean, this whole process has been so crazy that, you know, you think one thing one day and the next you're like, wait a second, but, you know, what just happened? But, be honest with you, I have no idea. I mean, it's a little bit exciting, a little nerve-wracking, you know, not knowing where you're going and, gonna be, you know, for this, you know, this, off season, but, you know, a couple days, we'll find out.
Yep, 7 or 8 days for Ryan Nassib. You'd think first or second round for the Syracuse quarterback. He was asked by the fellows this morning on WGR Radio if he has a gut feeling on where he might be picked in next week's draft.
You know, I think the range, I mean, it's kind of broad, but, you know, really the end of the first to the second round. I think, you know, there's some teams that have some picks in that area that, you know, I think I could be a good fit for.
Ryan Nassib, a guest this morning on the WGR Morning Show with Howard Simon and Jeremy White. The draft a week away, round one a week away. We're going to be on the air with complete coverage next Thursday night right here on WGR Radio and on our flagship station in Rochester, Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester. That's next Thursday night. Today, Mike Mayock from the NFL Network, their color analyst on Thursday Night Football and the draft guru for NFL Network, he held one of those conference calls with media members. And Mike Mayock, on his conference call, had a number of different issues to talk about. You know, he said, well, one thing, he talked about quarterbacks, by the way. He talked about the Buffalo Bills and their quarterback needs, and he was asked if the Bills can afford not to take a quarterback in the first round, number 8 overall.
I don't think Geno Smith makes sense in Buffalo. I saw him play in cold weather in the bowl game. I saw him play in cold weather at Iowa State. And I don't see him fitting in an outdoor arena in Buffalo. So if it's not him, do you want Matt Barkley or Ryan Nassib or E.J. Manuel at 8? That's way too high for me. And Buddy could be sitting there going, hey, I don't care what round I get my quarterback in. I just need to get him. And I understand that. But for me, I'd rather get a positional player at 8 that's going to help me immediately. And hopefully it's an offensive lineman. But if it's not an offensive lineman, you know, I'm going to get somebody at 8, whether it's Chance Warmack or an edge player to pressure the quarterback. But I'm going to get somebody that, I can plug in and make our team better. And then I'm going to come back in, and if I have to come back in and trade up and get to 26 to 32, I'll do that. But I don't want to give up my first-round pick to have that. I want to give up my third, or I want to give up something else, but I don't want to give up my first.
Mike Mayock from the NFL Network talking about the Bills draft strategy, and I have to say I've come around to that way of thinking. He points to the weather as the reason not to go for Geno Smith at 8 overall. That's part of it, but there's more to weather, I think, in that consideration about Geno Smith. I just don't know that he's accurate enough. I just don't know that he sees the field enough if he has been asked to do what an NFL quarterback is going to be asked to do. Am I saying he won't be a successful NFL quarterback? No, but I am saying I don't know if the value's there at number 8 for Geno Smith, so I'm not looking for the Bills to go there. I'm not looking for the Bills to go quarterback there, as I said earlier. Tavon Austin makes sense. Cordarrelle Patterson might make sense there. I would lean more towards Austin. Or maybe one of the good pass rushers, if they're available there, Ziggy Ansah or Burkevious Mingo or Deion Jordan from Oregon. I think there are some good options there for the Bills with their first selection, number 8 overall. And then they can fill in and get the quarterback, a good quarterback, with their second rounder, or maybe, as Mayock talked about, training down into the bottom of the first round. But again, a week to go. We'll see how that works out. Here's a tweet from Real Mike Moore, who talks about, I think he's referring to my Tavon Austin comment. So that would be a typical bad move from, but an undersized wide receiver kick return. Why get rid of Roscoe a few beers back? Because I think Tavon Austin has potential to be much better than Roscoe Parrish. I think we're talking Percy Harvin plus when you talk about Tavon Austin. Lit it up on the board at the 40-yard dash at the combine. If he's there at 8, I think they'll have to give him strong consideration. A call from Frank in Getzville. Hi, Frank, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, John, tell me what you think about this strategy. You know, I think I would do exactly what you're saying to do, get somebody like Tavon Austin or one of the guards. And I think I would do that the next two or three drafts. And because I don't think, we're not looking at it for the Bills to win the Super Bowl in the next couple of years.
I don't want to wait that long, Frank. You want to wait a couple of years?
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about winning the Super Bowl, but I'm talking about, of course, we want a winner. But I feel like, maybe after a couple of years, then let the whole house give up Miller and Vanek to get Johnny Manziel.
Okay, yeah. If it takes Ryan Miller, if you can get Johnny Manziel for Ryan Miller, I'll do that tomorrow. All right, well, that's where we're at right now. The NFL schedule coming out about 35 minutes from now. We'll have it for you live at 8 o'clock. And coming up, Kevin Cobb just wrapped up his first 3 days on the field doing football work with the Buffalo Bills, the voluntary veteran minicamp. We'll hear what he has to say when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive, and joining us in studio, having just wrapped up the 3-day voluntary veteran minicamp, is quarterback Kevin Cobb. Kevin, thanks for coming by here.
You bet. Glad to be here.
You are just off the field after 3 days of workouts here. How did it go? What did you think?
It went really good. I think the biggest thing is progression every day, for myself, from the offense, and from the team. Today was definitely our best day. Intensity was high. Obviously, guys know it's the last day, so there's always a lot of energy, but I think there's just an enthusiasm amongst the team about the changes and the new systems that are coming in.
The tempo is high. I mean, you guys really run a lot of plays, obviously by design, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we're not even anywhere close where we want to be, I mean, things are still going to change a lot from here. But, everybody's got to start getting used to it. I mean, we obviously have to be in great shape, and we'll catch people off guard with it. I think that's where, there's a lot of teams, especially in the college level, and then a few teams at this level that are starting to get that way.
Are we talking no huddle, Kevin? I don't want you to give up secrets here, but are we talking like a no huddle base to this offense eventually? Or?
I don't know about a base, but we'll do some stuff. I think it's still evolving is the thing, so we're still talking over a lot of things, seeing what fits our personnel, what we're good at. We have two great backs, so we don't want to, we don't want to get away from those type of schemes, but we'll figure some stuff out and see what fits us best.
What is the benefit of tempo in the game? I mean, and again, not no huddle. There have been times, again, different coaching staff, different personnel, but times here the last few years when it just seems to take forever to get a play in and then to get lined up. And it just, I think, well, you tell me, is there a benefit to having, running plays at a fast clip during the course of a game?
Yeah, there really is. I think what happens to the game is you have people that there's two ways to handle things. You either have a lot of stuff in and you have a lot of adjustments. So we double count, they show their stuff, we change the protection, we change the play, whatever it is. Or we get up, we go, we catch you off guard, you're tired, you didn't get your stuff set. So there's a lot of different philosophies in the game of football, and different people have different thoughts. And so what we're going to try to do is incorporate both of them into the quick, you know, the quick game.
Can tempo disguise weaknesses or maybe things that you're not doing so well?
Oh, absolutely. No question. I mean, I think that the best thing to me that tempo does is it relaxes the mind of the players and lets them just do what they've been doing their entire life. A big problem that I think what happens to especially young players at this level is they slow down because they're thinking too much. And if you get them into those, you know, you get them in the no huddle, you get them into a quick style offense, then they're just reading and reacting. When you're reading and reacting, you're playing, you know, at your highest level, and that's whenever you make a lot of great plays.
We're just 3 weeks, or rather 3 days into this practice routine, and I did notice an intensity. Even, as you said, today's Thursday's practice, there wasn't hitting, but there was some collisions, and I'm surprised to see that here we are in, you know, third week of April.
Yeah, I think everybody's just excited, you know, and it comes from our coaching staff. It really does. I mean, they really press on it a lot, not hitting. I mean, it's a team game first, especially we're all out there together, you know. But just the high intensity, the high motors, the running the ball, guys in and out, plays in and out, it's just it's a fun thing to watch.
You worked these 3 days, for the most part, without Stevie Johnson. Is that a setback at all, not throwing to Stevie during this 3-day camp?
I mean, we would like to have him, but there's a lot of time. It's the ever-true statement that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right. You know. So we were glad to get out here with not any serious injuries, and you know, and Stevie he'll be back quick. It's no problem. You know, we got a lot of time.
And when you mentioned him the other day in a press conference, and it occurs to me that, as ridiculous as it may sound, the MVP of this 3-day camp might be the other receiver, T.J. Graham. He just made catch after catch over 3 days.
Yeah, T.J.'s going to be a good player. You could see him evolve the last 3 days. He's going to get his confidence. You know, he's going to continue to grow his confidence. You know, he reminds me of some guys that I've played with in the past. I mean, his explosion is it's one of a kind, you know. I mean, he's just got to get used to technique and different stuff, and he's going to get a lot more bump and run than what he's used to, and stuff, you know. And so he'll just evolve as a player, and I think guys are going to really see, and the fans are going to really see him keep getting better and bust out.
It stands to reason that a guy in his second year would come back a little more familiar with, even with a different offense, but just familiar with the routine and what's expected of him. I guess maybe that's what we're seeing with TJ. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. The second year's light years ahead of a rookie year, things slow down for you. And then really the third year is whenever I know myself and what I've heard from other players is whenever everything soaks in, especially if, you know, of course we plan on winning this year, keeping the staff, staying in this system next year, and then you'll see him really evolve into next year even more.
I'm curious about the 82 Doran Dickerson, who had played tight end through his first year here, and now they've got him lining up and playing a little wide receiver. What did you see from him about as far as that transition goes?
Yeah, he's just a smart guy. I mean, he obviously that's a tough transition to drop weight and to move to receiver. You know, I think the one thing he has is great feel, you know, which most tight ends have, good tight ends. So in his shoes, you know what you're going to get with him. You know he's solid, and there's no surprises.
You know, people have watched Marcus Easley and sort of struggled through injuries in his Buffalo career so far. What do you see from him after these 3 days, 81 Marcus Easley?
Yeah, really. I was shocked with him yesterday. You know, I mean, I made a couple of throws to him, and he made some great plays, one with one-hander on a blitz, and he took it for, you know, a huge gain. So very impressed with him, and I've heard he's had some injury problems. But, you know, again, moving forward, I think that he's got a real chance.
You mentioned the blitz, and I saw it again in the workout today. The defense is not really hiding too much. They put some pressure on you guys and showed you a lot of pressure, which, yeah. I don't know, I guess I'm not used to seeing that in April.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we weren't either. There were four or five different pressures they didn't have in the books, so we were a little shocked by some stuff. And no matter what coaches say, they still want to game plan a little bit for their, you know, for their own defense when we're doing these practices. So it was good for us quarterbacks, especially. I mean, identifying things and going through the communication was a big thing, you know. And I'll tell you what, for the first 3 days and a new offense and a new system, it was really, really smooth. I mean, that just shows you how great a coaching we're having so far and how much the players are buying in.
We're talking with quarterback Kevin Cobb, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, as the Bills' 3-day voluntary offseason minicamp wraps up this week. We haven't talked really about the running backs yet. Your initial impressions of CJ and Fred Jackson, what do you think?
Outstanding. I mean, really are. I'm not just saying that. Both of them, and I'll tell you, we obviously know what they can do, run the ball, catching the ball in the backfield, explosion, you know, Fred's toughness and leadership. But today we had a big time weak side blitz. One of them involved a big linebacker, and we don't have any pads on. And it was a 3rd and 12 situation. Both of them stoned it. And usually with a back, you got to know you kind of got to drift away as a quarterback with your pocket presence. I never felt a thing from them. They stoned it right there. We picked up the first down, and everybody went nuts. You know, so that's the first thing that sticks out to my mind after this 3 days is those guys are not only great players, but they're tough-minded guys and they're leaders.
That's very interesting. You're not talking about runs by Fred or CJ. You're talking about blitz pickup. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so that just shows you how well-rounded they are. And I think it starts with Fred. Obviously, when CJ came in, he's a great talent. I'm sure he learned a lot of that from Fred, you know, because he's an all-around leader for our team and for this organization.
Did I hear you compare CJ to Westbrook, your former Philadelphia teammate the other day?
Yeah, I think he's got those, you know, I mean, obviously he's got the talent. That's not an issue. But just the way he's smooth out of the backfield with some stuff that reminds me of Westbrook a little bit. You know, I mean, we used to do a lot of things with him. And having that sense, and Fred does too, really. I mean, Fred, the sense of, hey, I got a little chip here. And this is just 3 days in, but I got a little chip here, so I'm probably a little bit late to my check down. I bet he wants me. And, you know, he understands the timing of everything. So timing's a big thing in this offense, and it's good to see those guys already picking up on it.
Kevin, this offense, how does this compare to what you've played in before?
There's some similarities, especially in when I was with Andy and Marty back in Philadelphia. But there's some differences, too. And that's what I love about Nate and love about Coach Marone is – ever-evolving is the word I like to use. You know, we're always going to continue to get better, just continue to try to stay ahead of the curve. And that's what you see with the great teams, you know, that have been winning the last 10 years.
Fans have been dying for a look at this offense and this defense, for that matter. How would you, if you could summarize the style of offense you're going to play, how would you describe it?
I can't. I mean, even though there are fans, if I could just, if they were definitely listening, I would tell them. But
oh, they're listening.
No, I mean, but if there might be some other fans out there as well, so I got to be a little bit careful.
I got
you. But, yeah. But, you know, for us, it's again, I think we're going to evolve into what we want to be, and we'll have to see what if we want to go more up-tempo, with our, if our guys can handle it, if we're better with two-back stuff. I think the great thing about what Nate's put together is he's taken it from a lot of different systems because he worked for a lot of different coaches. He worked for Gruden. He worked here at the Bills. He went to Syracuse. You know, his dad was a big-time coach, San Francisco. So he's seen it from a lot of different angles, and I'm sure while he was doing that, he was just making notes, and you can see them all coming up right now.
Nate has been in the league before, but this is his first time as an NFL offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Does that surprise you, maybe how advanced he is, given that this is his first OC job in the league?
You know, really, it doesn't, because I've been in the NFL so long now. You see those guys that are, you know, that are quality control or assistant QB coach. They handle a lot of the work.
Yeah.
I mean, they all the X's and O's, they do a lot of that stuff that we learn from as players. So those guys evolve quickly. I mean, they really do. Guys that are in good systems that are working behind the QB coach or the OC, they learn really fast.
When you signed with the Bills a week or two ago, they made it clear it's a quarterback competition, and you must be comfortable with that. You must feel that even when, you know, basically split the reps with both Tavares and even Aaron Korp this past few days. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, that's the name of the game around here, you know. And both of those guys look great this week. I think offensively did a lot of good things. I don't even worry about that right now. For me, it's just learning the system, getting good with what, you know, what they're asking of me and what the offense is asking of me, and then we'll roll from there. So we're out there having fun. I think you could tell that, regardless of what's going on.
Having been in this situation, essentially with Arizona and Philadelphia competing for the starting job, you must feel like you know how to do this and how to compete, right, for this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you got to – the biggest thing is not get caught up in it. I've done that before, you know, when I was younger and learned in Arizona and then processing on to here. But, I mean, Tavares has done the same thing. He's competed his whole career. So we're in very, very similar shoes there.
And you were asked this question yesterday, and I think, you know, I don't know what else you can answer, but they're likely to be a quarterback added in the draft next week. So just bring them on, right, and throw them in your quarterback room, and let's see where it goes from there. Right?
Absolutely. I've been that guy before, so, you know, I understand it.
What's next? You're back here for conditioning next week? Is that what's on the schedule?
Uh-huh.
Off-season conditioning?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit more, and we get to work with the coaches a little bit next week. Yep. So it'll be, you know, a lot of technique stuff that we probably missed this week. You know, we kind of threw it on fast in the last 3 days, so could slow it down some and get a feel for what they want us to do.
Do you anticipate when you get in meetings today and next week, you'll look at practice video from this week? Is that what you do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what have you been before this week? What were you looking at? Syracuse video? Or what kind of offense were you looking at?
We did watch a little bit of that film, little stuff from back in the day as far as footwork and stuff, you know, that he's picked up over the years. And then, you know, a lot of it was just understanding the verbiage of the offense itself. So, I mean, there's a lot of it that goes in it. You know, my wife sees the playbook. She says, I don't know how y'all do this. This is crazy. So, yeah, It's an advanced system, and obviously the NFL is an advanced league.
It's only April, but there's no mistaking there is a sense of energy and enthusiasm around this building, and a lot of it generated over the last 3 days. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. It's ramped up the last 3 days. I think everybody's excited, you know, getting through today with the way things ended up, and now the big thing is just staying at it. Don't ever get content.
Kevin, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. Kevin Cobb, Bills quarterback, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. From One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're taking you up to 8 o'clock, at which time we'll have the NFL schedule, the Bills schedule for you. We'll go down game by game for you right after the 8 o'clock update, just a few minutes away. You can also check out BuffaloBills.com a little bit after 8 o'clock for a complete breakdown of the schedule. Speaking of BuffaloBills.com, loaded with content right now. You may want to log on now. I mean, there's press conferences today from Doug Marrone. You'll get his entire press conference. C.J. Spiller, Mario Williams, what they had to say to the media today. Chris Brown and I put together Bills Roundup with a complete roundup of including highlights of the practice today. It's all right there at BuffaloBills.com. As usual, if you miss portions of our show, you can download the mobile Bills app at BuffaloBills.com, and you can always reach us there at BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. A couple of minutes left in this hour with the schedule release coming up at 8 o'clock. Here is Jacob in California. Jacob, welcome. You're on the air. How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about the Bills possibly trading down this year in the draft.
You think they should?
I was looking at a couple teams that have two first-round picks, and they seem to both need a need at wide receiver, St. Louis and Minnesota, since they lost Amendola and Harvin, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that they would probably be maybe looking to get a Tavon Austin or a Cordarrelle Patterson or something like that, and it would really benefit the Bills to get some more picks since we only have six this year. So I just want to know what your thoughts are on trading back to one of those teams.
I like that thought, and I think the Bills would like that thought. Buddy Nix basically advertised the other day that they'll be answering the phones. If anybody's calling, they're going to answer them. You're right, and I do think Tavon Austin is the prize up around there, sometime between 5 and 10 in that first round, and maybe that prize winds up with the Buffalo Bills if he's the kind of dynamic playmaker that most people believe he's going to be. But I like that thought. I think they would, with the right offer, I think they would gladly trade down and get extra picks. The fact that they only have six and the fact that there is this middle class of talent in the draft pool this year from about midway through the first into the third. Not much to differentiate that group. And if the Bills can pick up an extra player or two in that group, I think they'd do it. Here is Tom in Buffalo. Hi, Tom. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
A long wait, but well worth it.
Yeah.
Hey, I was talking with the gentleman who answered the phone when I called, and I was talking to my friend that lives in West Palm Beach. He brought up a really good idea, and once the Bills schedule is released, the NHL should really look at their schedules, and when the Bills are playing in Tampa or Miami this year, they should schedule the Sabres for that weekend, either in Tampa or Florida. You'd get a lot of fans to come down to go to both games. It would be a great weekend. It would be a great, you know, for the hotels down there. It would be an awesome time, and they really should think about doing that. What do you think?
I think that's not a bad idea. How many is a lot, though? Are we talking about accommodating 100 Buffalo Sabres Bills fans or thousands? What do you think the number would be?
Thousands of Bills fans that go to the, you know, there's maybe tens of thousands of Bills fans at the Dolphins game. I went for like 14 years out of 16 in a row down to Miami. So I think it would be great. It would be great for rivalry, you know, like for the whole weekend. It would be. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do too. I think it'd definitely be a lot of fun, Tom. I do think, especially when you deal with South Florida, I don't know if there's a hardcore hockey following there. I think my sense is it's a little bit stronger in Tampa. with the Lightning, maybe not so much in, you know, for the Florida Panthers. But, yeah, I mean, the NHL would be smart to do that, to tailor their schedule around what the NFL's coming up with. And the NFL's coming up with its schedule just moments from now. 8 o'clock, the release time for the NFL schedule. We'll get the Buffalo Bills schedule at that time. That's coming up just moments from now. We'll go down game by game. The Buffalo Bills 2013 schedule coming up next. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Touchdown, B. Scott! Touchdown, Buffalo! A pick six for the Buffalo defense!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
How did he do it? How did he do it?
I was sneaking in the door. Just sneaking in, had to part the door open, crawl underneath the crawl space.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
This is a grown dog's game. Ain't no puppies out here. Ain't no puppies out here today.
The kick is blocked again. It is Arcel Darius, Big Daddy in the middle. Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, hour two, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Happy to have you with us here tonight. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and it is schedule time. It is time to talk about the Bills 2013 regular season and preseason schedule. We've got it all for you right here. It's going to be up at BuffaloBills.com momentarily as well. We're going to go through this game by game, and then we will take your phone calls and get your thoughts on the schedule. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What do you like? 803-0550, the number, toll free, 1-888-550-2550, the number to call. You might want to, well, call us now if you want. Let's do it. The schedule, the Buffalo Bills 2013 schedule is out, released just now, moments ago. And it starts and ends with New England. The Patriots are coming to Orchard Park to open the season Sunday, September 8th, 1 o'clock kickoff. The New England Patriots, what a way for Doug Marrone's NFL career as a head coach to start. You might as well get the big challenge out of the way first. The New England Patriots coming to Orchard Park Sunday, September 9th. Ninth time in history the Bills have opened up against the Patriots. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. Week two, another home game. Two home games to start the season. In fact, four of the first six Bills games are at home this year. Week two, Sunday, September 15th. A 1 o'clock kickoff against the Carolina Panthers. 1 o'clock. Carolina, the week two opponent for the Buffalo Bills. Week three, the Bills finally hit the road, and they're in the AFC East with a game at the Meadowlands against the New York Jets, Sunday, September 22nd, a 4:25 p.m. kickoff at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands, the Bills and the New York Jets in week three. Back home the following week, September 29th, the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens coming to One Bills Drive. That is a 1 o'clock kickoff, Sunday, September 29th. So three of the Bills' first four games are at home in September. Should be great weather, you would think, and some pretty good games. The Patriots in September. The Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl champions, at home in September. The Bills, again, get you through September. Home against New England. These are all Sunday games. Home against Carolina, at the New York Jets, and then home against Baltimore. The ninth time the Bills and Patriots have played each other on kickoff weekend. That's September. Now into October. They're going to spend much of the month of October on the road. Three of their four October games are away from home, and it all starts with a Thursday night football game under the lights in Cleveland against the Cleveland Browns on Thursday, October 3rd, 8:25 kickoff on the NFL Network. The first of three games that Bills head coach Doug Marrone in his first year will play against another coach in his first year with his team. Obviously, Jacksonville with Gus Bradley and Kansas City with Andy Reid in his first game there with the Kansas City Chiefs, two of the three. Three games against first-year head coaches for Bills head coach Doug Marrone and Cleveland, of course, with Rob Chudzinski. Three games against rookie head coaches, and that's a Thursday night game, October 3rd. The Bills in the primetime spotlight on the road in Cleveland. They follow that up coming back home Sunday, October 13th. A 1 o'clock kickoff against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, October 13th at home. Then it's down south, two in a row in a road. The two longest road trips of the year for the Bills, back-to-back. On Sunday, October 20th, they head to Miami to play the Miami Dolphins. 1 o'clock kickoff in the hot sunshine at Miami Dolphin Stadium down there. They follow that up with another long road trip. As I said, two longest road trips of the year at New Orleans against the Saints in the Superdome. That game, Sunday, October 27th, the 1 o'clock kickoff for the Bills and the New Orleans Saints. that gets us into the month of November. And it's back to Orchard Park in November. The Bills will host the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday, November 3rd, a 1 o'clock kickoff. Still no bye week as we move through the schedule. We're into Sunday, November 10th now, and a road trip to Pittsburgh. 1 o'clock kickoff at Heinz Field for a game against the Steelers. Should be an attractive game for many Bills fans. The short ride down to Pittsburgh to see the Bills and the Steelers on Sunday, November 10th. Follow that up with the New York Jets. Back in the AFC East, the rematch with the Jets. They're here in Orchard Park, Sunday, November 17th, a 1 o'clock kickoff. The Bills and the New York Jets, they split the season series with the Jets last year. And the Bills will get them for the second time on Sunday, November 17th. And then finally, the bye week. They wrap up November with a bye week very late this season. Bills will have 11 games played before they get to the bye. The latest possible week that they could have the bye will be Sunday, November 24th, the bye week. And now we're into December, and it's going to be tough in December. Just one game in Orchard Park in the month of December. The Bills start December with the annual Toronto game, a matchup with an NFC opponent. They've got the Atlanta Falcons on the schedule, Sunday, December 1st, a 4:05 kickoff at the Rogers Center. The Bills and the Falcons. Following that, they go to Tampa Bay on December 8th against the Bucs. A long road trip for the Bills, again, away from home, December 8th, 1 o'clock kickoff at the Tampa Bay Bucs. And back to Florida the week after that, Sunday, December 15th. It's the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars, a 1 o'clock kickoff there. And then finally, back home again on Sunday, December 22nd, a 1 o'clock kickoff against the Miami Dolphins. The Bills go 5 weeks between games in Orchard Park and just one game at Ralph Wilson Stadium in December. And that's the Dolphins game, 3 days before Christmas, Sunday, December 22nd against the Dolphins, a 1 o'clock kickoff. They finish the season with the Patriots again, a trip to Foxborough on the road, Sunday, December 29th, a 1 o'clock kickoff. So the Bills bookend their season with games against New England, just like they did with the Jets last season. They did that against the Patriots 2003, beat the Patriots at home to start the 2003 season and finished up the season on the road at New England. This time they finished up the season at the road on New England on Sunday, December 29th. The Bills, fourth straight year, they have ended the schedule in the AFC East. The fifth season, the Bills have had the first and last games against the same opponents. They did it last year as well against the New York Jets. Differences from last year. 2012, last year, the Bills had three December games in Orchard Park. Of course, there were some blackouts there. Many people wondered, why the blackouts? What's wrong? Problem is, it's cold in December. Tough games to sell. Tough games to sell season tickets and tough games to sell when the team's not playing well. This year, that should be alleviated. Just one game in December in Orchard Park. And that, of course, is the Miami game a couple of days before Christmas. Just one game in December in Orchard Park. So there you go, the Buffalo Bills schedule. We'll go back over it again. Oh, we should do preseason schedule as well. The dates and times for preseason came out, so let's give you those. You know the opponents. In fact, you know the weeks that the Bills are playing their preseason opponents. Week one of preseason is going to be a Sunday game, a rare Sunday preseason game. Sunday, August 11th, the Bills will play at the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. August 11th, the 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon kickoff at Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium. Very interesting. They follow that up preseason week number two with a home game on Friday, August 16th, the 7 o'clock kickoff at Ralph Wilson Stadium against the Minnesota Vikings. Friday, August 16th, as we get through preseason. The week after that, it's a Saturday night game at Washington. Saturday afternoon, I should say. Saturday, August 24th, the 4 o'clock preseason game against the Washington Redskins. And then the traditional closer against the Detroit Lions on Thursday, August 29th. That's a 7 o'clock game. So that's it. That's the schedule as far as we know it. And as we talked about, they got the Patriots for the ninth time on kickoff weekend. The only team they played more on kickoff weekend is the New York Jets. The bye comes late. All the way down November 24th, the Bills will have 11 games played before they get to the bye. The schedule front-loaded with home games, four of the first six games at home. And then the back end of the schedule, they're on the road a lot, plus a game in Toronto. There are 5 weeks between home games, from the Jets game on Sunday, November 17th, all the way down to the Dolphins game on Sunday, December 22nd. One game at Ralph Wilson Stadium in December. Two straight divisional games to finish off the schedule. Very interesting schedule. I think it's a schedule tailor-made for selling tickets. As far as, the weather, there are some attractive home opponents, obviously, when you talk about, the obvious ones, New England, but the Baltimore Ravens are coming here to play the Buffalo Bills. That's an attractive home opponent, I would think. The Toronto game is Atlanta on Sunday, December 1st, and I think everyone's a little more comfortable when they get to the December before the Bills play that game in Toronto. The Atlanta Falcons, obviously a good team, a team that played in the NFC Championship game last year, should be a fairly strong draw in Toronto, but I don't know if the Bills are feeling like, or Bills fans will feel like they missed out not having the Falcons come here. I mean, there's a lot of pushback when it comes to the Toronto games, but pushback, do you like it? Do you not like it? Let's hear from you. The phone lines are open. 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. That goes for those of you in Rochester and everywhere else. You can always follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. The 2013 Bills schedule is out. And again, they're bookended with the New England Patriots, the opener, and the final game on December 29th, the New England Patriots. A lot of home games to start, and just one game in Orchard Park down the stretch. Last year they had all those December games, and I know when the schedule came out last year, we were kind of hoping that the December games might help in a playoff push. That was not to be, obviously. There was no playoff push, and the Bills' home field advantage didn't amount to much last year when it came right down to it. If you need a look at the schedule, you can go to BuffaloBills.com. It is up right now, week to week, the times, the dates. We'll go through it again as the night goes along. But give us your initial reactions. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Are you okay with the Falcons game in Toronto? Are you okay with the New England Patriots? What a way for Doug Marrone to start as a head coach against Belichick and the Patriots. I mean, think about the atmosphere in the stadium that day. You think about the energy and enthusiasm that's already been generated around here this week with the players on the field. Think of the fever pitch it will be on the opening day, kickoff weekend, Sunday, September 8th, when it's the Patriots in town for the Bills to open the season. They can catch them by surprise. I mean, think about it. What are the Patriots, what's Belichick going to do? Look at Syracuse video to find out what the Bills are going to do on offense and defense. They certainly can catch them by surprise. Carolina the following week at home in Orchard Park. I'm not talking 2-0 yet, but I think that's not a bad way to get the season started before you even hit the road. Two home games, one against your most bitter rival, the Patriots, and then what seems to be a manageable game against Carolina. But let us know what you think. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. The Bills schedule is out. It is up at BuffaloBills.com. Take a look and give us a call. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, John. How are you?
Okay.
I was calling to find out the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was born in 1959, and as far as I know, they've only played in Buffalo one time.
I think
it's kind of unfair to constantly have play down there. Let them come up and play in the snow.
Yeah, that is on a rotational basis, you know. And let me look up and see how many times the Bucs have played here. I think, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I got to look it up. It does seem like they have not spent much time here playing in Western New York over the years, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, again, it goes on a rotational basis. I don't know.
Well, I know they supposedly, I remember back like in the late 80s, early 90s, they came up with a thing that they said that teams weren't going to have these 15 and 20 year gaps between.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Bucs played here in 2009. Last time this team played, they played here in Buffalo.
That's the only time that I ever recall
them
playing
here. Eight times before that, the games were in Tampa Bay. So I think they're into the rotation now where what you say works, and that's why they're playing at Tampa Bay. But you're right. The first eight times the Bills have played the Bucs, they were games in Tampa Bay. The last time they played them was 2009 here in Buffalo. This time, 2013, mm-hmm. they're going to play them at Tampa Bay. You're looking for makeup calls? You think they should make up for those? I mean, they only play them every 4 years.
I was a season ticket holder and never got to see a guy like Steve Largent or that Tampa Bay defense that you constantly hear the Tampa cover too. Never got to saw it.
Yeah.
I never got to see it.
Yeah, good point. You're right. Seattle hasn't played a lot of games here either. All right, good point. Thanks very much for calling. We're talking about the Bills.
You
too. Talking about the Bills schedule. It is out. And as he points out, they're playing at Tampa Bay. Again, that'll be the 10th meeting all time between the Bills and the Bucks, and it'll be the 9th meeting in Tampa Bay between those two teams. That's kind of a weird stat. Here is John in Wheatfield. Hi, John. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hi, John. Yeah, I've been going to Bills games since 65 when my dad first took me to the Rock Pile in championship years. And I've never been a fan of the Toronto series. I've gone to Bills games where I've sat next to Toronto fans, and obviously the experience is not the same up there. They'd rather come down here. I mean, the Bills never had a problem selling out tickets in the 90s. And to use as a marketing ploy, I mean, they say, what, 10% of the people are Canadian fans? Why isn't Seattle marked for Vancouver, Detroit to Windsor? I mean, to me, I don't like it. I mean, Atlanta, to me, would be a great game to have here. And it just, I just think it's robbing the Bills fans of home games. And as a marketing point, I don't see it. I mean, the Canadians are more than welcome to come down to, you know, to Ralph Wilson Stadium where they cut the seating down, and it's not that hard to sell out. And
well,
I don't see a lot of Bills fans wanting to go up to Toronto to those games because they're not exciting. So I'd like your thoughts on that. I just would also like your thoughts on the Bills having to play Atlanta in Toronto, and I can't see them playing a division game up there either, but I would rather see them play. I know they're trying to get a draw up there, but let's build our home base around here. And I know really there's nothing as Bills fans we can do about it. But I just like your opinion.
All right, here's my opinion. You referenced Seattle and Detroit, both considerably larger markets than Buffalo, with considerably more corporate support in town than we have here in Buffalo. I mean, the Toronto Initiative, which has now, as you know, been extended 5 years, is an attempt to incorporate that market, fifth largest in North America, into Buffalo. I'm not talking about moving the franchise there at all. That's not going to happen. And that lease has been, or that agreement with Toronto has been extended now for one regular season game over the next 5 years, including this one against Atlanta. So there's that. You mentioned no trouble selling out during the 90s. In fact, there were games that were not sold out during the Super Bowl run, late season games that were not sold out. So that's just not factually correct. When the Bills are winning, you know, the tickets will be snapped up. Schedule, weather, you know, late season games has been and will remain a factor. I think, although I wish they didn't have to play in Toronto, I totally understand it. And I understand why it's important to the long-term viability of the franchise here in Buffalo to incorporate Toronto. The idea is to play a game up there, to build a base of Bills fans in Toronto, and to encourage those fans to come down here, as many do, to watch Bills games in Orchard Park. And they do. And it's growing. The Bills can point to evidence that the Toronto initiative is growing, that they are what's Russ Brandon's stat? 40% growth, I think, in attendance, season ticket purchases from Southern Ontario since the Toronto initiative began 5 years ago. So they have evidence that it's working, although slowly and certainly without a whole lot of success on the field in Toronto. I understand your point, though. Talking about the schedule, the Bills schedule out today. You're welcome to join us, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550 outside Buffalo. Here is Josh in St. Louis. Hello, Josh.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
My one thing about the schedule is, you know, we're looking at this draft, and obviously this is just one season, but everybody wants to talk about the Bills need to draft this quarterback that has this cannon rocket arm that can survive the winds of Buffalo in December. And I look at this schedule, and I think this is just an example of why that's overblown. We have two December games in Florida, and one of our home games is indoors in Toronto. So I think it's important to have arm strength, but I think people need to keep it in perspective. It's not like we play in 16 blizzards a year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Josh. And even Mike Mayock, who I have a lot of respect for as a draft analyst, when he talked today in that conference call about Geno Smith and playing in Buffalo, I believe in the value of a strong arm. There is value. And I think it was on display last year when you watched Colin Kaepernick and Joe Flacco advance deep into the playoffs all the way to the Super Bowl. You don't need a strong arm because it's snowing out, and you don't need a strong arm because it's cloudy or cold or windy at times in Orchard Park. You need a strong arm because it's the NFL, and you got to find a way to fit the ball into extremely small, tight windows on a consistent basis. And it's accuracy, but it's arm strength too, to be able to stand back there until the last possible instant and gun the ball into an extremely small window. That's what you need a strong arm for. I don't think it has a whole lot more to do than that. I mean, weather, I guess, is a minor consideration, which goes to your point. And you're right. I mean, you look, you know, if you start thinking, well, we need a big strong arm quarterback because we play in Buffalo in December, well, in fact, they're only going to play, as you point out, one game in Buffalo this December, and this is only one year of the schedule. But it really, I don't think, is a reason to draft one guy over another. The fact that you're playing in Buffalo and you're going to have outdoor games in sometimes less than ideal weather conditions, you'll have that, and I would dare say, you know, 70% of NFL stadiums, once the season moves along, you're going to have some bad weather to play in. You make a good point. I wouldn't draft a player on that consideration. I would think about arm strength. and not when it comes to, you know, battling the elements. I think about arm strength and being able to fire the ball downfield outside the hashes in an extremely small window in a very short time frame. That's where I think arm strength comes into play. All right, we got the schedule. We'll go through it again when we return. We'll talk with you more about the schedule when we return. Phone lines are open if you have thoughts on the schedule. 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. The Bills 2013 schedule is out. Let's talk about it. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Back on the air, the schedule is out. We'll go through it again for you, and we've got the phone lines open for you. If you have thoughts or comments on the 2013 Bills schedule or some of the highlights of the NFL schedule, we'll get to that in a moment as well. Schedule is out. Now you can begin to plan all of those weddings and bar mitzvahs and all the other stuff that people work around the schedule. I know for a lot, I know in our house it's a red letter day. Oh, we're not going here, but maybe we can do that. It's a big day in the NFL. It's a big day for Bills fans. The schedule is out. We'll go through it in a minute. If you have thoughts on the schedule, give us a call. 803-0550, the number, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, we'll take your thoughts on Twitter as well. A couple of tweets already about the schedule. RW28 tweets, ecstatic about week one. Why not start with the best as a measuring stick? Can't wait to rock the Ralph. Go Bills. I mean, really, is there an opponent you would rather have than the Patriots? Is there an opponent you'd rather have in week one than the Patriots at home in Orchard Park? Close your eyes for a second. Think about September 8th. Think about 71 degrees, sunshine, a little bit of breeze coming off the lake. People in tank tops and shorts and beach balls being tossed around the stadium. Think about the atmosphere in the parking lot. You walk in and it's the Patriots. The Patriots for Doug Marrone's first game. All right, open your eyes. Seriously, I mean, is there a better way to start a Bills season than have the Patriots right across the parking lot here in that stadium? I don't think there is. I don't think there is. Capsworth tweets, as a season ticket holder, love the back-to-back start at home, and Marrone's got a chance to make a statement early. Let's go. He does. He's got a chance to make a statement against the Patriots. We'll go through the schedule. The opener and the closer, for that matter, the Patriots. Sunday, September 8th, New England, 1 o'clock kickoff against the Patriots. They're home the next week against Carolina, 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, September 15th. First road game the following Sunday, September 22nd, 4:25 kickoff at the Jets. And then they finish up September with a game against the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens, September 29th, 1 o'clock kickoff, Ralph Wilson Stadium. I mean, what a month of football that'll be. At the Jets, home against the Super Bowl champions, and two straight games to start at home against New England and Carolina. Amazing. October, Thursday night football, the Bills and the Cleveland Browns. Thursday night, October 3rd at Cleveland, 8:25 kickoff, NFL Network. And then home against the Bengals, Sunday, October 13th, 1 o'clock, on the road at Miami, Sunday, October 20th, 1 o'clock kickoff, at New Orleans, Sunday, October 27th, 1 o'clock kickoff, and then into November, home against Kansas City, 1 o'clock, Sunday, November 3rd, at Pittsburgh, November 10th, 1 o'clock kickoff there. Always, Heinz Field is a great venue to watch a game if you haven't been there before, and not a bad drive either, 4 or 5 hours tops. Sunday, November 17th, the Jets here in Orchard Park, 1 o'clock kickoff. The bye week, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, Sunday, November 24th, and then December, and then they hit the road. Sunday, December 1st, the game in Toronto, Atlanta, 4:05 kickoff. Sunday, December 8th at Tampa Bay, 1 o'clock kickoff. Sunday, December 15th, 1 o'clock kickoff at Jacksonville. Two long Florida road trips. Two hot games, you would think, for the Bills outdoors in Florida, first couple of weeks of December. Sunday, December 22nd, Miami is here, the final home game of the regular season, 1 o'clock kickoff against the Dolphins. They wrap it up with the Patriots again, Sunday, December 29th at New England, 1 o'clock kickoff. Two straight AFC East games to make up ground if you need to, and I mean, I think it's a good schedule. I think there's a lot of fun to be had with this schedule. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Dan in North Tonawanda. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Good evening. I just wanted to say I'm actually ecstatic that we drew the Patriots for the first home opener in a while against them. And I think the reason why I say that is because as a season ticket holder in years past, just because of the economy and just how cheaper it is for Boston fans, that whenever the Patriots come to town, the stadium is usually 55 to 60% Patriots fans. And this year, with it being the home opener, I think we got a really good chance for it to be, you know, 85-90% Bills fans this year.
Good point. You're a very good point. They have not opened at home against the Patriots since 2003, and we talked about that year when they opened here against the Patriots and finished the season at the Patriots, and that's what they do again this year. The Bills have opened against the Patriots a couple of times in recent years. 2009, the loss at New England, 25-24 on the opening game, September 14th, and then 2006, a loss at New England, 19-17 on September 10th. But the first time they've had the Patriots for the home opener in 10 years since 2003. That was a memorable game. As you'll recall, Sam Adams rumbling into the end zone.
31-0.
31-0, and then 31-0 loss at the other end of the schedule. Yeah, I think that's the way to start. I think that's a great way for Bills fans to start with the acknowledged leader of the division, the New England Patriots, coming to town. No three-game road trips for the Bills this year. Typically, I think there are two teams that get the three-game road trips this year. I believe the Dolphins get one. The Dolphins really have kind of a rough schedule right out of the box. Where was I reading this? The Dolphins, they're going to open with two straight games on the road and three of their first four on the road, and then they get the Baltimore Ravens at home. They'll get to week six, and the Dolphins are going to have a tough time, I would think, managing that schedule. The Philadelphia Eagles are the team, not Minnesota. Philadelphia Eagles have a three-game road trip, which is always tough. The Bills had a three-game road trip a couple of years ago, lost all three. Tennessee Titans have a three-game road trip as well. Those are brutal. The Bills do not have a three-game road trip at all this year. Let us know your thoughts on the schedule. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call from Mike in Amherst. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Okay.
I will listen to your show every chance I get. I'm usually driving at the time, and I can't tell you how refreshing it is not to have to hear that negativism that's at the 3 o'clock hour. Those guys are unbelievable. But you just bring a new, fresh breath to the air, and you're actually respectful to the listeners, and every day is not the worst day of your life when you're talking. So it's just really appreciated.
Well, thanks, Mike. That's awfully nice. Thank you.
Well, what I wanted to say is, last season when we opened up against the Jets, there was a lot of anticipation going into it with the defense and everything else we thought we had. And I kind of felt like it set the tone for the season when they got blown out. It was like the air was let out of the tire. And this year, assuming maybe they have a quarterback going into it, maybe it's kind of the same thing against the Patriots. If they somehow beat the Patriots, it could potentially set the tone for the season. And on the flip side, if they get blown out, maybe that sets the tone as well.
Yeah, I think you make a very good point about last year and the opener against the Jets. And not only did they have it was shocking how poorly the defense was in that opener in the Meadowlands last September. I was shocked. They gave up 48 points. They almost gave up 50 points. This defense, in which they spent so much money and so much effort and so much preseason talk about the defense, and then they gave up 48 points to the Jets. There were issues, obviously, Cromartie with an interception return and the punt return for a touchdown, but 48 points. Not only that, they also lost Fred Jackson in the opener last year with that knee injury, and David Nelson went out in the opener with an injury. I mean, I do think it set the tone. It set them back on their heels. They bounced back with a solid game against the Chiefs and then won at Cleveland, but I think the seeds of doubt in last year's Bills team were planted in that season-opening loss to the New York Jets. Conversely, if they can get the Patriots in week one, it might set a tone. It might set a tone, knowing full well that you come back the following week with what looks to be a manageable game against Carolina at home. You're not just taken to the road right away. And even if they should lose to New England, they're at home. I have to believe home field means something. The Bills, have not capitalized on home field a lot in recent years, but you got to believe that home field means something. To get those first two at home, including, you should be at your – there should be no problem getting the attention of this roster for the first game of the year, no matter who it is with the new coaching staff. Based on the small sample we've seen of the energy level, the enthusiasm level in these last 3 days at the off-season camp for the Bills, the voluntary mini camp, there should be no problem at all getting the attention of these players you know, for the opener. And, oh, by the way, it's against your most bitter rival, the New England Patriots, which goes a long way towards that as well. I do think I love the way the schedule starts. I love that four of the first six games are at home. Three of the first four games are at home. The Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl champions, coming here on September 29th. Love the front end of the schedule. The back end is tough. There's no question about that. Tom in Rochester, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
How you doing, John?
Good.
Okay, what I would like to say is that I kind of dispute a little bit of what that said, because I think it's great that we are opening up against New England Patriots, because I think it's a win-win situation. Let's look what happens. They go in, and if for any reason they do win, yeah, it can set the tone for the season. Everybody goes, wow, you knocked off in the head of the division, and it can set the tone. Now, if you lose, everybody expected you pretty much to lose anyways. And if you do lose but by a little and you make it a good game, you're still setting a high expectation. And, wow, you guys did better than they thought you were going to do this year. So it's a no-lose situation, I think, for the Bills. You couldn't ask for a better opener.
Don't set the bar too low, Tom. I mean, are you really okay with a moral victory, a loss in week one at home?
No, of course I'm not.
No.
But I'm going to be
honest.
Don't
settle for that.
I mean, I'm probably holding higher expectations than most of my friends for the Bills this year, only in the fact that I think if you can keep Kevin Cobb healthy, I think he can stun a lot of people with what his potential still is and what he can do. I mean, he was 4-0 yesterday or last year with Arizona before, you know, we knocked him out of the game. When that was with two of the arguably worst tackles in the league protecting him, his blind side and whatnot. Now, if we've got a halfway decent defensive skill set, which I think we do this year. Wanstead did not like a blitz. If you looked at it, very vanilla defense, just wanted his four linemen to beat everybody up front, and then the rest would take care of themselves. Not in today's NFL. I think Pettman's going to come in. I think the defense is going to be better than anybody thought. With that being said, if Cobb is halfway competent, I think they can do well. But I'm just saying, most of the people out there feel that the Bills won't stand a chance against the Patriots, just, you know, looking at their record the past 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the people's mind, it'll also get them more enthused that if they win, great. If they don't, but they come close, hey, better than I thought. We thought they were going to get blown out.
Okay, all right. And they're home in week two against Carolina. So that means something, I think. All right, a lot to talk about, including the draft 1 week away from tonight, but more on the schedule coming up as well. And stick around. We've got more to come. We go right to the top of the hour. We'll go through the schedule once again, and love to hear your thoughts on the Bills schedule. It just came out about 40 minutes ago. You can look at it at BuffaloBills.com. Chris Brown and I have video analysis, first blush analysis of the Bills 2013 schedule, and it's all up there. It's right there when you log on to BuffaloBills.com, the 2013 Buffalo Bills schedule. Ring us up if you'd like to talk about it. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with a few minutes left and time for your phone calls. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live at One Bills Drive. Phone lines open. The schedule is out. Give us your thoughts on the Bills schedule. You can check it out at BuffaloBills.com right now. And then let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number to call, toll free. 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Thing just struck me, and the last caller brought it up about Kevin Cobb. I mean, so here the Bills are starting their season with the Patriots at home. And we all know the Bills are, I mean, I think we all figure the Bills are going to draft a quarterback next week, whether it's round one, excuse me, round two, or wherever. I mean, a quarterback is coming next week in the draft, you would think. The fact that they open with the Patriots and against Bill Belichick in the defense, does that make it less likely that that rookie would start the opener? I think it does. I think it does. I think because of the schedule, I think it's more likely now that Kevin Cobb or Tarvaris Jackson would be the starting quarterback on kickoff weekend, September 8th against the Patriots. I just don't know, despite what they have in mind and despite what they want to do offensively, I think that's going to be, I would think, that's going to be an interesting decision to make. Do you throw a rookie in his first NFL game against Belichick and all the different defensive looks he can throw at you in the season opener? I think that's something to think about. Kevin Cobb has played against the Patriots. In fact, he beat the Patriots last year. Remember that game fairly early on? John Skelton got hurt, I believe, in week one. Cobb started in a game at New England in week two and went 9 of 16, 15 of 27 passing in that game one touchdown pass and one touchdown run. The Patriots missed a chip shot field goal. Gostkowski missed a field goal at the end, and Arizona won it 20-18. So Kevin Cobb has played and beaten the New England Patriots, the only game in which he faced the Patriots through his NFL career to date. Maybe that's his second opening day. The schedule real quickly, and then we'll take some more phone calls. New England, the opener, at home Sunday, September 8th, 1 o'clock kickoff. Another home game in Week 2, Sunday, September 15th against Carolina, 1 o'clock. Week 3, first road game, Sunday, September 22nd at the Jets, 4:25 kickoff. Week 4 against the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens in Orchard Park, Sunday, September 29th at 1 o'clock. October, Thursday night football in Cleveland, October 3rd, 8:25 kickoff. Followed by a home game against the Bengals, Sunday, October 13th at 1 o'clock. Followed by a trip to Miami to play the Dolphins, Sunday, October 20th at 1 o'clock. And then a visit to New Orleans to play the Saints, Sunday, October 27th at 1. In November, the Bills open November with a home game against Kansas City, 1 o'clock kickoff on November 3rd, a Sunday. Then they travel to Pittsburgh Sunday, November 10th, to play the Steelers at 1. And then the Jets are here Sunday, November 17th, a 1 o'clock kickoff. The bye week, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, November 24th. 11 games in the books before the Bills get the bye. And then the Toronto game, Sunday, December 1st. They play the Atlanta Falcons in Toronto, 4:05 kickoff, Sunday, December 8th. They play at Tampa Bay at 1 o'clock. Sunday, December 15th, another Florida trip at Jacksonville at 1 o'clock. Final home game of the regular season, Sunday, December 22nd against the Dolphins at 1. And the final game of the regular season at New England, Sunday, December 29th at 1. The full schedule with analysis from Chris Brown and yours truly is up right now at BuffaloBills.com. Time for a few more phone calls here. John and Clarence. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. First of all, I'm glad you're doing the show. You are definitely a big positive change from the morning show people and the afternoon show people.
Thank you, John. I'll let
him
know.
I wish we had a few more like you.
I'll pass that along.
However, I also don't like that we're playing New England, because between New England and Baltimore, it could be really a couple lovely or bad losses. And the rest of the year, you know, we're probably not going to sell out the stadium. And I won't be able to see it on TV.
Well, there
a lot
is
of older people like me who can't make it to the stadium won't be able to see it. You know, I can listen to the radio.
I was going
to
say, there is a radio option, John. Don't forget the
radio
option.
Yeah, there is, but, you know, the radio and the combination TV is better.
I got you. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. They could. Those are tough games, no question. New England and Baltimore, a couple of solid teams from last year, a couple of playoff teams, two of the first four. Both of them, however, and in Orchard Park. And I think with only one game in December in Orchard Park, I think that's going to go a long way towards solving the blackout issue next year. I just do. The last report I heard from the ticket office was the tickets were pacing pretty well, like a little bit better than last year. And now that the schedule comes out, season ticket sales I'm talking about, you know, I think that's going to go a long way towards helping sell season tickets when fans know I'm only sitting outdoors once in the month of December as opposed to three times last year.
Matt, and that one game is Miami.
Yeah, and it's the Dolphins, yeah. And it's before Christmas when traditionally a lot of people are looking to go to a game. Matt in Buffalo. Matt, you're on the air.
Hey, John, how's it going tonight?
Okay.
I just wanted to get your opinion on having the home or the Toronto game in December again. I kind of like the fact that when we have a snow game, especially against a team like Atlanta who doesn't typically play in the snow, it could possibly go to our advantage. Plus, I really also don't like the fact that we're playing Atlanta, a dome team, in a dome, in a road game. It's going to kind of feel like a road game for us. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, good points. And I had not thought of that. A dome team, Atlanta, going to a dome in Toronto to play. You know, the Bills have not played well in Toronto over the years. They're determined to fix that problem. And they've, I think, taken some steps forward in making that more of a home team atmosphere up there. But that's a good point. The Falcons, a dome team, is going to get a chance to play the Bills in a dome. There's always going to be a problem with which game goes to Toronto. I do think December is not a bad option because, A, it takes one of the home bad weather December games out of the season ticket picture for Bills fans. Two, I think that going to Toronto in December obviously avoids any conflict there might be with the CFL. I don't know. I mean, there's always going to be some objections, but you make a good one. You make a fair one. All right, we're going to have more schedule analysis tomorrow. We got the podcast tomorrow. We're going to get back into the draft, too. We're in the final week before the draft. Steve Mensch of Scouts.com will join us tomorrow night on the podcast. podcast tomorrow because there's Sabres hockey. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. The schedule is out. It is up at BuffaloBills.com. Make sure you check it out there along with our analysis. Want to thank our engineer tonight, Pete Cargis, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow night, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.